is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 338. I am Lisa Sheps, along with my inherent, beautiful, intrepid, and all sorts of other I words, co-host Miss Nicole Shiro. You're listening to us on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM, streaming live at KOOP.org. Do not touch that dial.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Friday at 4.
It is Wednesday, December 2nd, 2015. Can you believe it is December? On the show today, we have the Spectrum Theater Company. We're going to talk to them about all the things they do. And also, we will have the Institution Theater also talking about all the things they do. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in New York, in Chicago, in Austin, in St. Louis, in St. Isabel, and in St. Stephen. Stick around. Musical comedy class.
So
that actually was entitled Friday at 4, and I will tell you why I chose that in just a moment. In the meantime,
something exciting is happening Friday at 4?
No.
Taking a guess.
I wish I had thought of that. That would have been a great idea. But I'm checking in with you, Nicole Shiro. You've been running around like a one-armed paper hanger today.
Yeah, I've been doing that all week, but so have you. I feel like
Well, because I am a one-armed paper hanger.
Yeah, well, you know, you were a one-arm... I can change
One-arm paper hanger. can happen.
I was trying. It didn't work, but...
Well, once again, I'd like to thank... Oh, go ahead.
How
sorry.
You doing? Yeah, I'm good. Crazy, busy.
You went to the football game.
I did. We won. We're playoff contenders. It's so exciting. My cousin Vinny in Boston.
Yes, she has a cousin.
I have a cousin Vinny. He is real. My cousin Vinny in Boston is now going to be coming down to
go
to the...
You have a cousin Vinny in Boston.
Yes, yeah. I know. And I'm half Italian, half Irish. You think he's some big Italian guy. He's half Polish, half Italian.
Does he have a Boston accent?
He does. He grew up in Rhode Island. Which is Boston, basically, because Rhode Island's so small.
Okay, I would love to sit here talking about my cousin Vinny, but we're going to just go on with the show, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry,
sidetrack. Cousin Vinny gets people excited. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, well,
I was excited that you were excited about football, because how rare is that that overlap of football and theater?
So I'm going to show you my football or baseball. I'm not even sure what
your sport.
Ignorance. I was listening to the radio today, and they were talking about the Texas Rangers moving. And I'm thinking, why do they even care where the Texas Rangers go? And I'm
thinking the Rangers.
The Texas Rangers.
The law enforcement.
And they kept saying, well, it depends how much the city's going to pay them. Oh, well, Dallas will pay them a lot of money to go.
And you're like, who cares
where the Texas Rangers are? It's just like an office building with a jail. Anyway, I would like to take some
that
time.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, because I'm not smart. I would like to thank Tracy Schultz for another wonderful
Love
remix.
Love that, Tracy Schultz.
You know, I didn't catch the whole show, but, you know, the part that I caught was like this death metal jam, which, you know, I love my death metal.
It gets you excited.
Yeah, not really. Let's introduce who's here. Oh, wait, before I introduce the voices that we are hearing and have heard, folks, I want to just remind everybody about Backstage at Offstage.
Oh, yes, my favorite part.
Backstage at Offstage is available on the podcast only, so if you're not listening to the podcast, you might want to.
You can become special and listen.
At the end of the show, stick around. We talk to our guests about what makes them tick, what makes them people.
We get good stories
back
there.
It's
and
really fun. Dun-dun-dun, we get the answer to the trivia question.
Which, I mean, I know everyone is waiting on bated breath the entire hour for that.
Even
Cousin Vinny.
Cousin Vinny writes the trivia questions.
Actually, Cousin Vinny likes theater a lot, so wouldn't be surprised if he did that.
The voices that you've been hearing, the voice you just heard is Mr. Tom Booker. Hello, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
Second time on the show.
Yes.
Mr. Asaf Ronan.
Hey.
Hey, are you tweeting right now?
I'm just checking responses to my Facebook post about this.
And then new to the show, Alvin Angel.
Yeah. Hello, how you doing?
But we met just a couple weeks ago at the Cultural Arts Higgity Biggity.
Yeah, it was fun.
Higgity Biggity is a technical term that I wouldn't think anybody... So let me just do the official weather report.
Please do.
Beautiful.
Huh, I was just like, what? I mean, I have been waiting for this day for a while now.
Yeah.
And it's here.
This is the December I moved to Austin for.
This is just like, you know what?
Truthfully.
Touche.
Touche. Yeah. Well, so I played that song Friday at 4 o'clock, which is from a show called A Class Act. I'm betting you know that show.
I know the music. I don't know the show that
It was
well.
A Tony nomination in 2000, and I'm surprised I had never heard of it until
today.
Isn't
that funny? Yeah, it's one of those, and you're like, oh, yeah, that wasn't that long ago.
It is an autobiographical musical based on the life of Edward Claiborne, who is the lyricist from Chorus Line.
Yes.
Worked with, and so it tells basically the story of his life. He died young of cancer, and that's it. And it was Lonnie Price, am I right?
Like I think so. There was a whole
Carole
bunch of...
Carole Carmello was in the Off-Broadway, but she did not go to Broadway with it.
Correct.
Carole Carmello, by the way...
We talk about her all the time. It's kind
of
funny.
Well, talk about her right... We talked about her last week. We're going to talk about her now because...
Tell me.
She was in the original Broadway production of one show called Parade.
Yes, she
by
was.
By one Alfred Uri and Jason Robert Brown.
Yes, yes, yes.
Currently playing at the Ground Floor Theater.
Well, that's kind of exciting.
That's log rolling, so I've got to stop.
Okay. Can I push you into the water?
Push me in the water. So that's why I play. Oh, so you might wonder, you might ask me, Lisa, why did you play Friday at 4?
Lisa, why did you play it Friday at 4?
Mind your own business. It's off.
No, he's very nosy.
Alvin, you having any ideas?
No clue.
What was last Friday?
Day after turkey?
Black Friday. Black Friday. Did anybody participate in Black Friday?
No, I have not. I bought a Ninja mixer.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, I have the...
At Costco?
Target.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
I have the mini Ninja. I love my Ninja mixer.
I'm going to eat a lot more or drink a lot more smoothies in 2016.
I love my Ninja, too. His name is Sam. But thank you very much. There's a lot more. So there's... some interesting things. Invisible Thread. Do you remember we talked about this show? It's a Diane Paulus show.
Yes.
About the African-American company.
Yes, I sent you that really cool video.
That really cool video.
Oh, really cool
video. When they sent their entire company...
To Uganda.
Was it Uganda?
I think it's Uganda.
Somewhere in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
To study these people that were part of this story that they are going to tell. And that show opens off-Broadway tonight.
It's pretty exciting.
Tonight. So I can't wait to talk about it next...
Tonight.
Latricia Harper is in it. She was in The Color Purple. Aisha Jackson was in Beautiful. Corey Mock, Hands on Hard Body. And Jamard Richardson was in The Book of Mormon, who we will be talking to next week.
I know.
La, la, la. Anyway, so there's beautiful pictures. Hold on. Let me show it to our audience first.
The amount of dirt on stage... Like, have you seen some of the stills from the production?
Only there.
Oh, my gosh. That video. The music in it. I mean, that song in that video was really cool.
That song, that video is beautiful.
But the song and the vocals, it sends chills down my spine.
Listen, I don't know about you, but I think if that Diana Paulus person works at it, she may go somewhere.
She may go somewhere. I'm wondering.
So I didn't see which theater it is playing in New York City.
I forget, but it's in the little paper here. So...
But the good news is it opens tonight, and we're going to talk about it next week. I'm looking so forward to it. It looks really incredible, and I hope it moves.
I hope it moves too.
You know, Broadway is starting to step up its game about having, you know, not the same old crap that
Second Stage Theater's Tony Kaiser Theater.
Yeah. It should. You know what? I love those Tony Kaiser Theater roles.
We could only get a Kaiser roll here.
You can't
get a
Kaiser roll here. You can't get a Bialy here.
Oh my
gosh. Get a
I would have pork roll, egg, and cheese every day if I could get a good hard roll.
There you go. I can't go where I wanted to go with that comment, so I'm just going to stop.
You just stop.
Has anybody seen the Google's Cultural Institute?
I saw something about it, and then I saw it on here, and I meant to look it up. Tell me, Lisa.
Should I Google it?
Dun, dun,
you won't find it. It's not on Google.
Really?
It's not? I'm teasing. Oh. Of course you should Google.
I was like, really? They don't have
so
themselves up there?
You might remember they made news a few years ago or so when they said they were going to make super-duper high-res images of walkthroughs of museums around the world.
Correct.
And so you can like zoom like right into like
the Mona
right
Lisa
the Mona
and
Lisa.
Not have to stand like 500 feet away from people and see something.
Through glass, through the little 8.5 by 11.
Yeah. What a disappointment.
It was a disappointment.
It really is one of the best, biggest disappointments.
You know what? That is the. So we'll diverge and talk art for a second. That was a disappointment, but you think that, okay, that got to be a disappointment because it's an iconic, everybody knows it. But what wasn't a disappointment when I saw American Gothic at the Art Institute in Chicago?
Nope.
Which is the American Gothic?
Yes,
the
of course.
Cornflakes commercial?
It's, yes, that's why I know American Gothic.
Well, that's why most people know American Gothic.
The Cornflakes commercial?
You know what I'm doing?
It's one of the most appropriated images.
Have you seen it in person?
It's really breathtaking.
In Chicago, yes. Yes, I have seen it in person.
Amazing. Anyway, so Google Cultural Center has gone and
oh, I bet you that. They have all these pieces we're talking about. In their cultural center.
They may very well, but that's not what we're going to talk about right now. They've switched to performing arts.
That's awesome.
So they've got on there, and it just came online Tuesday, and they've put a 360-degree view camera in the middle of the symphony orchestra in a Royal Shakespeare production of Henry V, and you can with your mouth, scan around and watch all things happening in real time.
That's awesome.
So I went to Carnegie Hall and I sat in the pit.
And what'd you do? What'd you watch?
I forgot what it was. Oh, it's Peer Gynt. In the Hall of the Mountain King from Peer Gynt, which was conducted, as you know, by Yannick Netzitzgin.
Well, Yannick called me and asked me if I could tune in, but I was unable to.
I love
Yannick him. Owes me money.
Oh, goodness.
He will never call
Yannick, it cannot be trusted.
No, don't loan him money. Don't not loan Yannick money.
Yannick, this is your intervention. You need to change your ways.
Yannick. So I did sit and
damn
watch.
It, Yannick.
I almost went there. I just want to go on record as saying that, but I didn't. What was I going to say? Oh, Henry V, you can...
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you get right there where he's saying the iconic line, which I forgot which one it was, but it's there. So it's very, very interesting, and folks could go take a look at it if you want. And while you're at it, you could stop by and see the Uffizi Gallery in Florence, Italy.
Oh, that's pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. I think that's...
It's pretty cool.
Well, for me, it's like... The difference between doing a virtual tour of a gallery versus just looking at high-res GIFs of the image. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same thing. Well, I want to get up there. I want to see the brush strokes. I want to...
But don't you think... I mean, to me, I'm like, oh, it gives people the opportunity who can't travel or are looking in the future, where do I go? And they get an opportunity and then get to look forward to going to the museum and going
well,
to
but,
the place.
But take the... But
or the theater?
The museum is one thing because you can see it, but... You will never, I'm guessing, Asaf Ronan might, get a chance to sit in the pit of the Carnegie Hall Orchestra. But this allows you to actually sit in the pit.
Well, that's a virtual experience.
Yes.
Yes.
But interesting that this article, which is available on our website, offstageonair.com, this article talks about the marketing model that Google did. And they discovered through focus groups that what people love to do is pan and tilt and stuff like that. And they learned that from Street View.
Oh.
Interesting.
But I think performing arts via the virtual experience will transcend the virtual experience, whereas art and what I love about art and going to museums does not transcend the virtual
experience.
Right. No.
I think you're right. Although I have not gone – I should go look at the art things because evidently you can get so close to it. Like you can see like little paint droplets.
Pointillism of Seurat. That's that where you're going.
Seurat. No, I wasn't, but that's a good one. Sunny in the Park with George.
Isn't that also at the Chicago Art Institute?
It is, and it's beautiful.
It's my favorite museum in the whole wide world.
Yes.
Gosh,
I used to go there every Monday.
I used to go once a week, too.
I went there all the time.
Yeah.
So those of you, speaking of virtual things...
What did you see?
Well, in Daddy Long Legs.
Yes.
Musical,
oh, yes, this is kind of cool.
Is for the first time is going to be doing a
streaming live
broadcast of their off-Broadway show.
Correct.
Daddy Long Legs. It's a musical. It was also a movie with Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers. I mean, Fred Astaire. I'm just going to say Fred Astaire. Could be wrong.
I think that's right.
That is right.
It is.
What do you think, Alvin?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Trying to draw you out. But that is happening on the 10th. I did not print the thing out, but you can go. There will be a link on our site. I've registered to see it.
Did you register
to
see
it? Yeah, you registered to see it, and so then they get your email address.
It's a lot of...
I'm sure I'll be getting
a lot of theory. That's December 10th, so that's next week. And The Wiz is this Thursday.
Is this Thursday, right? And I did not put that on the list to talk about.
No, you didn't. Talk about so it. I pushed it in there.
Well, because I'm a little upset because I don't get to see it. Because why?
DVR.
Because why?
I'm going to be there too. I'm going to DVR it because I'm going to be at parade on Thursday night.
I saw the last two live, and there's something special about. You know, you want to sort of see it all fall to pieces live.
Oh, I don't want to. I only got through like the first 20 minutes. There was a special on the making of it, and I didn't get too far. But I watched the part where Stephanie Mills, the original Dorothy, she's in this production also, brought the new Dorothy back to the original theater in New York, and they sang together on stage, and it was really cool. I was like, this is kind of neat.
Yeah.
I love me Queen Latifah, but I'm not happy about her playing the wizard. I don't like it. I've seen clips of it, and I'm like, Queen Latifah, you rock. This is not the role you should be playing. So I think that might be my only disappointment that I am cringing at so far.
Well,
but I don't know. We'll see Thursday.
Stand by next week. We'll talk about it on the show along with Daddy Long.
We've
got lots of things to talk about. We're going to talk about Invisible Thread, Daddy Long Legs. No, that may be the next week.
They did a number at the parade, actually, with the other Broadway shows. The Wiz actually got one in there.
There you go. So the other thing I was meant to talk about last week, where there was a Playbill had a holiday gift guide about theater books.
Yes, because I always pick one every year. I get a new theater book. That's one of my...
For yourself, or do you get,
I
like,
give
get
it my list. I get my family always asks me, and I always pick. I give them the list, and I pick the books that I want, and I always receive.
And what
one.
Did you choose this year?
I haven't chosen yet. I got yelled at for that the other day.
Well, here's. I'm going to suggest one for you.
Honestly, that's
you
so
might
funny.
Not actually have this one, but I like the idea of the Untold Stories of Broadway Parts 1 and Parts 2.
I have both of those. I got Part 2 last Christmas.
I want to borrow it. But also what looks good is Black Broadway.
I don't have that one.
So it's, you know, how African-Americans on the Great White Way, which is, there's a lot of
history. I already have it's Razzle Dazzle, so I said no.
I'm going to say no to Seth's Broadway Diary by Seth Rudetsky.
Oh, that could be kind of funny.
And then Madeline Kahn has it.
That's it. Sold.
Oh, there you go.
Because I was just, I told you she's in one of my favorite Christmas movies, Mixed Nuts. Stuck on an elevator Christmas Eve.
That's what I'm there talking you go. About.
Somebody and come and save
and here's me, one. The Hirschfeld Century, Portrait of an Artist in His Age, which should be sort of interesting.
Oh, and you know, his daughter, the Nina, lives here in Austin.
She does?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No. We need to get her on the show.
Oh, I can get... Nina used
She's
to
She's very
come.
Hidden, just like in
no,
the...
No, no.
And there's four of them, the, depending on which day.
Yeah,
there might
we'll
be
call Ann Chicalella and get that set up. Right. I've met her a few times. She's... Okay. Done some stuff. Yeah.
Great. We'll talk about that when we're not on the air. That's great.
Yes.
That's a very
yes. Nina
good idea.
Lives here.
Okay. Wow. So moving on to superstitions that you must follow.
Tell me.
Well, I almost didn't do this because a lot of it is sort of silly. So yes, it is.
Of course.
Break a leg instead of good luck.
Oh, okay. Well, that
and they
makes
talk
sense
about you know why. And I was always under the understanding they really don't know where it came from. But my the theory
I've
I
heard.
Like
I've
is the John Wilkes Booth version.
Oh, I don't know that one.
No.
Because when he shot Lincoln, he jumped off the balcony
yep.
and broke his leg.
Yeah.
Oh, I had heard that leg is a term. There was a portion of the stage that if you had made it onto that, you got a pay raise.
Yeah, the legs are the wings.
But if you didn't get out there, you didn't get paid. So break a leg meant that you're going to get out there tonight.
Yeah. So specifically, I will read it. I'll read that theory to you, which
I
never heard. This
I hadn't
moment.
Heard that one either.
Yeah. The widely accepted explanation is that the leg being referred to as a human appendage, but the curtain that hangs in the wings, masking the backstage, breaking a leg means you have broken past that barrier and made it successfully on stage.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I like that.
I like that.
That may be my new favorite.
Of course, we know
do not whistle in the theater.
Right.
That's got very practical reasons behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know why?
Sailors used to...
Do the flies.
Mm-hmm. And they would signal each other as if at sea.
Whistling.
And so if you whistle, a sandbag might drop on your head.
You better tell the dwarves they can't whistle while they work.
I will. I will tell them.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I did not know that this was these two I did not know were things. Do not give flowers before a performance.
I knew that one. I don't know why, though, I did know that one.
The reward of flowers should only be bestowed upon performers, directors, and playwrights, of which we have here in this room, in front of the audience and after the artists have earned their accolades. To do so beforehand tempts fate that they will screw up.
I was about to say, it means you're going to be disastrous, probably.
They wrote something different than screw up. And then also, you're not supposed to have blue on stage, which I've never heard either.
Okay, what's blue. That about?
I don't know. Let's see. Going back several decades, centuries, blue dyes were expensive and difficult to make. A theater troupe's success was often judged by its ability to afford blue costumes. In an effort to deceive audiences into believing they were more successful than they actually were, failing troupes would spend the money to procure blue costumes.
Interesting.
Very nice.
So next time I see blue on stage, I'm going to be like, you're just trying.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Look at you, muckety mucks.
What are you, a Kennedy?
Wearing the blue.
Wearing the blue. Oh.
Hey, let's talk about trivia questions.
Oh, okay.
Darling, for a trivia question for us today. And just to remind everybody, this is the trivia question we'll ask you now. Do not shout out answers, which I know that you will probably know them.
Right. You're so cute.
We will pose this question, and we will answer it at the beginning of Backstage at Offstage.
Okay. Pearly, 1970, was the story of a black preacher, Clavon Little, who battles to buy a church from Old Cap and the segregationist owner. With the help of Captain's more liberal son, Pearly gets the church, as well as the girl, played by a rousing Melba Moore.
Rousing.
Pearly's music and lyrics were Jerry Geld and Peter Udell. The book was co-authored by Udell, producer Philip Rose, and the talented actor-writer who wrote the straight play, Pearly Victorious, and played its lead. Who was that? A. James Earl Jones. B. Roscoe Lee Brown. C. Sidney Poitier. D. Ossie Davis. Or E. Emmett Babe Wallace.
Emmett Babe Wallace. You know what? I don't know the answer to that, but that Emmett, he's a babe. All right, we will.
It's a good league of people to in there.
Yeah, good league. So let's take a little break. Before we do, we're going to listen to something from Daddy Longlegs.
Okay.
So to get us in the mood for Daddy Longlegs on the 10th. But also, this is Charity. I chose the song Charity because Tuesday
was Giving Tuesday.
Giving Tuesday. So, you know, keep running a theme here. Here we go.
I'm liking it.
Charity. Oh, charity.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with one Lisa Sheps and one Nicole Shiro. We are fortunate to have in the studio with us Tom Booker, Asaf Ronan, and Alvin Angel. And how am I doing with that last name, Alvin?
You got it that time.
Am I rocking the last name? Yep.
You psych yourself out of
I do psych
it.
Myself out.
She does.
Out.
And it's funny because she normally will say them all correctly and then psychs herself out on air.
I'm a fearful person, Asaf Ronan. Just
as David Bowie says, you're under pressure.
Under pressure. So, Alvin, you are here to talk about Spectrum Theater Company, which I'm like thrilled to have you on because I'm a huge fan of Spectrum, and we need to make sure you guys survive. So tell us what Spectrum is.
So Spectrum is Austin's premier African-American theater company. It was started up by four folks who've been on Austin stages for a long time. Billy Harden.
Never heard of him.
I'm teasing. Carla Nickerson.
Never heard of her.
Janice Stinson. And Jackie Cross.
Powerhouses all four.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, so they've been around for a while. Between them, they probably got 130-ish years of stage experience. And it was pretty much their brainchild. And we've been around probably now, time flies, about 3 years.
Right.
Has it been that long, really?
Time
does fly.
So, well, as you know, the Austin's not had, since Boyd Vance passed away about 12 years ago, and the Pro Arts Collective sort of didn't survive his death. And so the Austin theater community has been missing the African-American voice. And so when I saw Spectrum come out on the scene, I was like, thank God. Mm-hmm. So how's it going?
It is going fast and furious, I'll tell you. Last year, we staged one major production, Pretty Fire,
right.
Starring Felice Dibb McDonald. Austin Playhouse, and that went really well. Outside of that, we did some monthly play readings. We did a couple where we partnered with the Bob Bullock Museum over the summer for their presentation of Black history. So that was really a phenomenal thing to be a part of. And for 2016, we have we're looking to mount three shows.
Wow!
So
Do you know what they are yet? Can you tell us?
Well, yeah, I can tell you.
Come on,
this is a safe space.
Well, we're tentatively looking to do Crowns. Once on this island, and Joe Turner Come and Gone.
Yeah, I know y'all had talked about Once on This Island earlier in the year. I think
music
well.
Is so
yeah.
Yeah, so the team is growing. We're, probably in terms of company members and associate company members, about 21, 22 strong. There's just a lot of great energy. I think Billy and the other founders are very very smart in the fact that they are recruiting a lot of young energy folks,
right?
Like myself. I am not from a theater background, actually.
Tell us what you do with Spectrum.
So I'm the business development team lead. So my goal is to help the executive director and the artistic team and all of the other silos of the business operate together, communicate effectively, and basically ensure that everyone has what they need to get what they need done. I work pretty closely with Billy Harden, the executive director, in doing things like this, appearing on radio, making sure that we have.
And you're doing a bang up job, by the way, so far.
Thank you.
Oh,
well,
gosh,
you know, I try.
So
and just making sure that we make those connections in the community and get some money in the bank, because you got to have money in the bank if you're going to put on great productions. And we don't want to be a half-witted company about what we're doing. We want to be put on some really stand-up shows.
Right. So, and Austin doesn't have the best track record on general in dealing with the African-American community and the African-American theater community. Would you find that sort of an accurate statement, or am I full of boo-boo?
That's certainly accurate. And that's kind of what we want to do. It's not, sometimes we get the question of, why are you so pro-Black? Well, I mean, every company, every entity has its call to action, and so it's not a thing of malice or resentment. It's just that we believe that African American stories are out there. There's so many that encompass our experience, and it's important for those stories to be told from the unique perspective of the African American. So there are a few stories with African Americans in it, or about that experience being told in Austin, but some are not. The ones that are being told, many are not written or directed by African Americans,
right. Which is, I think,
important,
very important. And there are a whole bunch of really great stories. I'm going to take a quick sideline here, Alvin. I'm going to ask you to choose a number between 2 and 45. No, 43.
41.
Yeah. Okay, see, because if I had said 45, you would have said 43. And we've had 43 like 100 times in a row.
I think it was a 42 or 43. One of those we've had a lot.
Here we go.
Hey, this is Dana Marie Ingram and Cindy Winters from Motown the Musical.
And you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin.
Where's the singing?
We're going to do that another take.
Hey,
how about that?
That
was random. You picked that. You picked Motown the Musical.
Yeah.
And that's the first time we've played that.
We haven't played it yet.
We've not played it yet. So that's good.
And they did two, didn't they? She sang on one, right?
They sang on one. They've done two. They did one where they sang, and they did one where I just.
I'm excited about that.
Which number is the singing one?
I don't know. They're random.
They're random numbers. We are waiting on bated breath like you.
We also have Ben Vereen who sings.
Ben Vereen, yeah.
So that's good. So I have a question for you, Alvin, that I actually really honestly want to know what this means. So let me figure out what you wanted. So I'm looking at your mission, and it says, let me make sure I'm talking about the right thing. Use theater to create an American mythology that includes African Americans and other peoples of color and every thread and fabric of our society. What do you mean by American mythology?
American mythology.
Did I stump you?
Well, I have to get into the head of the author. American mythology, I would have to say, is basically all of the stories that encompass the American experience. African Americans have a part to play in all of those stories, and so you know, talking about every thread of society, every thread of the stories that are being told, we basically want to share our piece in American mythology. So the stories that have been told, not just looking at it, you know, for instance, when there's a story about a war that took place, typically is told from the perspective of the people who won the war.
Right.
But there are other perspectives to be considered to get the full picture of what the truth is. And so when you consider things like slavery, and you consider things like the civil rights movement, you know, we just saw a great production of Hairspray at Zilker Hillside. Mm-hmm. How long ago was that? Goodness.
It was this summer.
That was this summer. And so you're dealing with issues of racism that happened around that time. And it's very important for it not to be told just from the perspective of the majority, but Correct. Also the perspective of the minority.
Okay. So mythology in this instance isn't necessarily an untruth, but more like the lore of the American lore.
Yes.
Awesome. Do you guys have anything that's going on soon that you want to tell folks about? Because we're just about out of time.
Yeah. The Wiz Watch Party, actually tomorrow at Midtown Restaurant. If you want more information about it, you can check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/SpectrumATX.
And where is the watch party?
At Midtown, the restaurant.
Okay.
Cameron Road? Goodness.
All right.
Yes. Check out the Facebook page. There'll be updates there.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you. Anything else?
That'll be. Oh, also, January there will be a gala. We will actually be honoring the memory of Boyd Vance and also doing some pieces from shows we're looking to do in the future. That's going to be January 17th at Austin Playhouse.
Okay, that's probably an important thing for people to go to. If people don't know about Boyd, he was just an incredible man, and Austin really feels his loss.
Did a lot for this city.
He really did.
Wow.
I came here, you know, just a few years before he passed, and I got to meet him a couple times. So I couldn't say I really knew him very well at all, but it was, you know, he was a presence and he was an energy, and he's really missed here.
I agree with you.
Excellent. Well, Alvin, thank you so much for being on the show.
Sure. Absolutely.
So that was, Alvin Angel of the Spectrum Theater Company. You can get more information about Spectrum and everything they're doing at spectrumatx.com, or you can check out their Facebook page. We will be right back. When the shadows are creeping and the stars go deep into the... Okay, we are back.
That was exciting music.
Yeah. So, hold on, I'm going to turn their microphones off. they're like back channel talking.
Because it's very exciting in here today.
It is. It's very exciting in here.
I was saying that I'm waiting for the day when we have multiple African-American companies.
Because right?
Then it gives them a chance to individualize their voices.
Yes, exactly.
No group has the same experience.
Yeah, right.
Correct.
And so to allow for multiple voices like that. Absolutely. Right now it's happening within one company.
Yeah.
But imagine how much more it could happen with multiple African-American companies.
Exactly. That's I totally agree. Very good. Thank you for sharing that.
I wasn't talking because I'm polite.
I think we all know that's not really true.
I was wondering what it was. I thought maybe it was something else. But I'm glad to hear you
think
it's
that. We're all a Statler and a Waldorf today, aren't we?
So do you have anything locally to talk about?
I
don't.
Are you kidding?
Well, I don't. You can talk about it.
I have three little things. A final weekend of Streetcar Named Desire at the Long Center, austinshakespeare.org.
Or as I like to call it, the Long Center.
The Long Santa. The other thing is, you know, I love me the children's theaters. The Winnie the Pooh is playing over at the Zach Theater.
Two you know more what? Shows on that.
The wonderful thing about Tigger's.
Tigger's is that a wonderful
I'm
thing.
The only one. You know,
No, I gave you the second line. You skipped all the way to the
I
end.
Tales
have made it to spring. But the best thing about Tigger's is I'm the only one.
There, yes. Love. Okay.
My mom called me Pooh Bear growing up.
Did she? Mm-hmm. Aww. There was an article recently on the real bear and the real Winnie the Pooh and where the history came from. It's kind of cool. And then there's a show that I'm going to be attending on Thursday over at the Ground Floor Theater called Parade.
Parade.
And you can get more information for that at groundfloortheater.org.
In keeping with themes of systematic oppression, that show deals a lot with...
Yes, it does.
Systematic oppression, it deals with anti-Semitism, racism, ageism, geographitism, which is a word I just made up.
I'll roll with that
so
word.
Let's just jump right into today in theater history.
Okay.
The Student Prince opened at the Jolson Theater tonight on 1924.
Interesting.
The play is based on Old Heidelberg.
What's Old Heidelberg?
I don't know. But
I feel like I'm supposed
lyrics
to know
by
what
Dorothy
that is.
Donnelly and the score by somebody named
And I feel like you're looking at me because it sounds vaguely Jewish.
No, no, you just had to work. You seem to know everything, both of you. I'm
no,
like, and gentlemen.
No,
there you go. Me either. In 1925, it is the birthday of Julie Harris. She was born in Grosse Pointe, Michigan.
Oh.
Dun-ta-dun.
You know, her birthday's been on Wednesday before because we've shouted out to her. I miss her.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
1979, it's the opening of Bent at the New Apollo, starring Richard Gere, talking about homosexuals in
I
Nazi
can't
Germany.
That was 79.
I know.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, and you won't believe this either, in 85, The Mystery of Edward Drood opened, which was just revived years ago.
I know. I love that show.
And that one was the one with Betty Buckley and Donna Murphy, amongst others.
My friend Michelle Pigliavanto was in it.
And Michelle Pigliavanto. I was just about to say
yes,
her.
Don't forget Michelle.
And then, let's see. I'm just going to skip over to 2004, the Roundabout Theater Company's revival of Pacific Overtures at Studio 54, starring B.D. Wong.
Oh, yes.
And it received 5 Tony nominations, and I did not know this. It was directed by Emon Miyamoto, and he becomes the first Japanese director to stage a major musical on Broadway.
Are you kidding me?
2004. Yep. Shame.
Oh, wow.
Birthdays. Adolph Green, 1914. Ray Walston. Folks will know who he is.
It's like, why do I know Ray Walston?
Ray Walston. Well, you'll know.
My favorite Martian.
You wouldn't. Yeah, but I was going to tell her what she would know him from, which is Damn Yankees, the movie Damn Yankees.
Yeah, but I'd know him from My Favorite Martian Yankees movie, but yeah.
I know, but this is a theater. This is a show about theater.
I know.
We were talking about the stage version of My Favorite Martian.
Yes.
I love that. It played the Rodolfo Theater in Boise, Idaho. Locally, there were no birthdays that I knew, so I'm going to celebrate tomorrow's birthdays.
Go ahead.
David Jarrett. Several appearances on the show. Kirk Kelso.
Oh.
Or as I like to call him, Kirk Kelslow.
I was going to say, you're going to call him his name?
Kelslow. Tony Bravo.
Oh, Tony. Mm.
And alumni of the Institution Theater, Mr. Arthur Chong.
Oh,
Arthur Stanley Chong.
You've had some good birthdays in there.
Oh, I know.
I like that the locals were... there's a larger majority of locals.
They're all clustered.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back and talk to the guys from Institution Theater. We're going to listen to a little bit to the Student Prince, since it opened in 1924.
Well, sounds smashing.
Drink.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP. We are here with Asaf Ronan and Tom Bucher, who I like to pronounce Bucher.
I like
earlier, we were talking to Alvin Angel of Spectrum Theater Company, but now we're going to shift gears to the lighter side of the world, perhaps.
Yes. Alvin has no lightness in him whatsoever.
He's got no light. Well, we'll see. We're going to make him improvise with us.
Very nice.
I was going to say, are you going to make him play?
Yes.
So one of the things that I thought was interesting, and one of the reasons why I wanted to have you guys on here, I've talked about it on this show several times over the past year or so, and you could probably codify this or confirm what I've heard, is that Austin is now considered number 4 in improvisational cities.
Really?
I'm serious. Behind New York, Chicago, and L.A.
Yeah.
That's what I hear.
That makes sense. Yes. We have
all right. Well, thank you for being on the show.
Yeah. Actually, I just wanted to drop off my car.
Just had to clear it up.
Just donate.
We'll get clean it up.
Consider yourself codified.
Yeah. So I find that...
That was a great word she used today. I'm so glad you put it right back out there again.
I love the word
codified. Well, let me just tell you something. I haven't been codified in years, so it's good.
You're still young.
I am. I'm only 57. So which I think is amazing. And I was amazed just before I even knew that fact. Now I can call it a fact that we support five theaters.
Yes.
Yes.
We call them the five families.
Yeah. Five families. Which family are you? But they're all very distinct, aren't they?
Yes. And that's, yeah.
What's your gig?
What's our gig?
Yeah, what's your gig?
As far as
what sets you apart from the other four?
Yes.
If you must use corporate speak.
Well, I think a couple things.
How do you shift the paradigm?
A couple things. I think a couple things. One is Asaf and I came from the outside and started here at Austin. So we bring.
You're interlopers.
Yes. We're improv carpetbaggers.
Improv carpetbaggers. I love it.
But we bring a different view. Asaf from New York.
So it's a mime carpet bag, though.
Yes. It's object work, but it's very nice. And then also, I think one of the things that we do is we start with you and
me, personally?
Yes,
Lisa Sheps?
Or the performer. Yes.
Oh, okay. That's
and we
different.
Want every performer to be exactly like Lisa Sheps.
They're beautiful, then.
And they're gorgeous. We take what you do best and work from there. Would you say so, Asaf?
Yes.
All right.
Huh? Also, we've kind of have this name that we've given our theater of like,
oh, yes.
We're very much an island of misfit toys.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
but
I like
because
that.
We love
I
to
feel like
celebrate.
I live on the island of misfit toys. Yeah. And you know what?
I think we're all misfits.
It's a great island, by the way. I am totally okay with it.
But we need to embrace our misfit status. Yeah. I mean, because that's our truest selves, but we call ourselves misfits usually from a derogatory standpoint because we're ashamed. We think the grand public wouldn't understand this side of ourselves. But no, that's the part of yourself that you're supposed to be celebrating most. So we kind of start there and build outwards. Yeah. Make you okay with your misfit qualities and then see what else is possible from there.
We're big about inspiration over obligation. Obligation
comes
from a place of what you have to do, what people expect you to see. We're from a place of this is your starting point. What does it inspire you to do? We're big proponents of what's next or what if.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. I love to do shows and see shows, and I love to put things on stage that shouldn't be there, you know, that just are. I mean, I'm not.
Maybe you can fix Mad Libs the musical then.
Oh, yes, it looks awful.
Because that was something that shouldn't have been there.
We can do it. We can do it. We're working on one of our pet our dream projects is Cease and Desist the musical.
Okay.
Because we have.
Because you have. You
we have
the
cease and desist. Mm-hmm.
We have a wall of them.
Yes.
We got a wall of them. More than if I knew of two.
We're at four.
You're at four. And that's specifically four.
The first one was from Fox for the musical version of Firefly.
Yeah, right. We took an episode of Firefly and added seven original songs.
The second one was from Comedy Central because we did a stage version of
South Park.
South Park. The third one was from
NPR.
This American Life.
The
right?
Sweetest cease and desist.
Was it really like,
oh, yes.
Let me hand you a pie with this too?
Well, it said, we know this is a hassle asking you to change the name of your show, but
we have to protect our
we
copyright.
We have to do this. But that's
you
nearly,
sounded just like Ira Glass when you said that.
Cease and desist.
nice.
Yeah, but that was written by Seth Lynn, the producer.
Right.
Of This American Life, whereas
I
the
hear
other
his
ones
name
were,
every week.
Which were written by lawyers.
Oh.
So
right.
It's a much different tone. Yeah.
And then the last taking one notes. We actually settled. It was we were doing a show called The Source, and we got threatened with a lawsuit from the filmmakers of The Source family.
Documentary.
And and so Asaf, without negotiating, got them way down.
Yeah, they were asking for $1,000 and like we're not going to see $1,000.
You're an improv company.
We're a 47 seat theater. Yeah. We're not going to see $1,000.
Well, if you charge Broadway theater prices,
possibly
if it costs $300 to come see a institution theater show, that could be helpful.
But we settled for 50. Bottom line,
and we're waiting to hear from them because we're putting up the Source Family Sourcemas special.
Oh, cool.
December 18th.
I love that you wait for the letters.
Yeah, we put them up. We
celebrate.
I honestly mean that. Like, hey, what are you going to do?
We're kind of lawsuit proof in that we don't have any money.
It's like, yeah, what are you going to get from us?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't own our building. You can't take that away. We don't have much money.
We have no pride or integrity.
Yeah. No. And who would want it if you did?
Yeah.
Exactly. But you could send them a bill for publicity.
Yeah, I think the most expensive thing in our theater is the fridge. You know, it's like, you want the fridge? Okay, you know.
So you just, y'all just finished something that I didn't realize it was, it had already happened. Because it was on Stage Austin. That's where I saw it. I just didn't look at the dates.
Yeah, which is a good segue from our cease and desist, because I'm surprised we haven't gotten a cease and desist.
Parody law.
Tell folks what it is.
This thing called Jukebox Musical Projects, mm-hmm. where we write, Courtney Hopkins, writes these historical musicals using a songbook of a known artist. So we just did The Story of Passover told through the music of The Cure.
Okay.
And in the past we've had...
That's just way awesome.
Thank you very much. It was way awesome. And in the past we've done The Black Plague, done through the music of Smashing Pumpkins, and The Soviet Space Race, done through the music of Phil Collins. And coming up in January...
Yes.
Let me announce this.
January at the Institution Theater.
We're going to do The Women of the Wild West, so Calamity Jane and Annie Oakley. Told through the music of... Beyonce.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
So every 3 months we do this new musical. We do 5 rehearsals, you know, quick and dirty. And
don't you think Nicole and I should be in it?
I would totally think we should be in it.
I do too.
I know who will say, I know what musician you can use that'll send you a cease and desist letter quicker than anyone
else.
There you go. You'll get that bad boy before you're finished writing.
My vocal director worked the a cappella circuit, you know, mm-hmm. professional a cappella.
Yes. Yeah,
well,
I know all about
stuff.
Pitch Perfect.
And she says that Prince has someone that goes and pulls a cappella YouTubes down.
Oh, you know, my gosh.
Through cease and desist.
He's mad, but he's probably just, he's a mad genius. I'm so in love with him.
He's a brilliant guy.
Sue me.
Guy.
Sue me, little man.
A little too tense.
Go
about
right
this.
Ahead.
Particular thing.
So what do you guys have running right now?
Tom?
We have coming up our Christmas special, which starts this weekend. It's an annual show. It's
the name of which we cannot say
on
the radio.
Well, you can say
can
all
say
blank.
The letter? Okay.
Yeah, you can say the letter. Go ahead, say
but
the letter.
But it's our annual Christmas show, a sketch show about Christmas in Austin called F, It's Christmas. We do a sketch show in August about Austin called F, It's Hot. Because it is hot.
Yeah. And we all say that. Yeah. In August.
As soon as you walk out the door in August, when you're living in August, the Pope would say that.
Alvin knows.
He would, don't you think?
So has that opened yet, Tom?
He would
Friday.
Say it in Spanish,
this Friday.
Though.
Yes.
This Friday, yes. And then we also have a number of Christmas specials. We have the Girls, Girls, Girls Holiday
Which we
Wonderland.
Love Girls, Girls, Girls.
10 o'clock this Friday, and it's such a great show. It's one of my favorite shows. They're such a close group and such a wonderful mm-hmm. group of women that they share their Christmas stories, and then they'll do musicals or songs based on that.
I saw it last year, I believe.
I was like, did you go last year?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's well worth seeing. It's really, really a lot of fun. So the thing I like about improv is it spans so many things in so many areas. For instance, Alvin, have you ever taken an improv class?
I have not.
Okay.
Oh, you'll have to get kicked out of Austin.
Institutiontheater.com, yeah. No, but you know, back when I did corporate work, I knew a lot of people that were working for corporate, you know, just as in their marketing departments or whatever. And if they weren't working well, these large companies would send them to Second City to learn improv, because you learn so much about how to deal with other people. You learn about yourself. You learn
quick thinking.
You can learn quick thinking. You can learn facts, and of course, object work.
Oh yes!
Don't forget the object work.
Yes, which we've been doing this whole time.
You had your bag and a whole bunch of stuff going on.
You're almost done making that pie. It's really good.
A friend of mine from the improv community pointed out one thing in the development of theater. The script was the last thing that got. I mean,
when you
theater for a while had a stage and lights got added to theater, but it was a long time before script. Got added. For the most part, it was improvised because there was no other way to do it.
And even still, even today, if you were working on a devised piece, you don't, you know, words don't hit paper till
the
very end.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
Yeah,
y'all are pioneers.
We would do shows for years at the Annoyance Theater in Chicago before we put them down on paper.
Yeah.
Which was good because we were usually drunk.
Well, and that's sometimes that's the best way to see improvisation.
No, we were on stage.
But now you guys also have a whole school component where you can teach folks the to be as funny as the two of you are sort of being today.
Yes, and it's not about
sorta.
So I was just sort of
Lisa, you sweetheart.
I know. Stop
she
it.
Learned that. At the institution
because I'm a graduate. I have
a certificate.
I have a certificate and a graduation photo with Mr. Asaf Ronan, the education director.
But it's not about being funny, although I think improv is an art form that I like to say attracts funny, lazy people. And so there's that component, but it's just about being true. And I think people are afraid of it because they think they have to be funny. But the surprising thing is if you are real with yourself, it's going to be funny because people can connect with that. So it's just about listening and reacting. That's it. It's like I say, it's like playing catch, and this is a visual. So look at your radio. But it's like you catch the ball. Yes, I hear you, and throw it back. And this is how I feel about it. And that's it. And then the response. And then as long as you play with someone, you make eye contact and play with someone, your scene partner is your inspiration ATM. You don't have to think of anything. You just have to react to them, based on the truth. And just we like to say the secret of improv is choice plus commitment. Am I talking too fast?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Choice plus commitment.
Just fast
You're
enough.
Just and, talking with passion.
And the choice doesn't matter. It's the commitment that's important. And it's whatever discovery, like choice makes it brings the mind involved, and I don't like that because that's where the fear lives and the heart is where the fun lives. So I like to say, get out of your head, get into your heart.
I like that.
I like that he put on a sexy voice for that.
That's sexy Tom Booker, ladies and gentlemen.
Tom Booker.
Get out of your head. In your heart. I'm taking off my shirts.
So that is important. I think that it's a really good thing. I would suggest that any person should look into learning improv.
Yeah, we have classes coming up in January. We have our big 4-year anniversary also happening in January.
Where can folks get information about that? And where can folks get information about
that? The Institution Theater with an ER.
Yeah, spelled the incorrect way.
.com. We actually have it both. You can do it the correct way and you'll get to us.
Yep. Oh, well, that was smart thinking there. Yeah.
Same thing with Ground Floor Theater. You can do it the incorrect way and it will get to us.
Yeah. Where are y'all located? People.
We're located on Woodbury Drive, which is just off Ben White and Congress.
Can you do the Woodbury Shuffle?
Oh, yeah. That's how we go to work each day.
Yes.
Yeah, 37. Can I give the address?
Yes, of course. I don't know. Can you?
3708 Woodbury Drive, which is just one block east of South Congress and just a little bit north of Ben White, around the corner from where the Rudemaya used to be, but now just right around the corner from Exposé.
Yeah,
that's
our landmark.
Yeah.
Exposé, and you could take
a theater in its own rights.
I call that the Congress Ballet.
You could take improv, and then you can go swing some bats right next door.
Mm-hmm. We always give change back in single dollar bills.
Well, thank you. I was hoping we'd improvise, but we've run out of time.
Maybe we kind
of
improvised.
Wait a minute. Maybe we could at backstage.
Here's what we will do. Here's what I will promise those of you that are listening to the podcast and those of you that are listening online, you're going to want to get the podcast because right after we get the trivia question answer.
Yes.
We'll improvise.
Yes, I bet maybe
all of us.
You get Tracy Schultz to give us write down some random word or something.
Yeah, we can get him doing. Well, thank you guys for coming on the show.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure.
And once more, give a folks the website for where folks can get information about you.
Theinstitutiontheater.com.
Institutiontheater.com. Wonderful. Well, stick around. We hope you will join us backstage amongst the dumpsters.
They just smile and look
crickets.
At us.
Okay,
all right.
Never mind then.
You and I will be alone hanging out having a tea party.
We love a good alley.
The dumpsters are nice. That was Asaf Ronan and Tom Booker. They are with the Institution Theater. For more information about the Institution Theater, their shows and their classes, you may visit theinstitutiontheater.com. And we will be right back. Don't go away.
I love your funny face. Your sunny, funny face.
I don't have a funny face. That's not very nice.
You're smiling all the time.
I am smiling all the time.
I know.
That was a fun show.
That was a fun show.
We were worried we didn't have anything to say, but
you know what? You know what?
We had Tom Booker on the show.
What?
We had Tom Booker on the show. We didn't have to worry about what we were
going
to say.
All the gentlemen are pointing at each other going,
I do want to say that if you're not listening to the podcast, you want to.
Yes.
So there's several ways to get us. We are available on the Tunes of I.
Yes.
And when you go to iTunes to get us, why not leave us a review?
You know, reviews are good. You can say we're rock stars. Yeah. We won't be offended by that.
And then please like us on Facebook to help make us a little bit more legitimate as people, because we are very insecure.
Yeah.
Also, you can shout out to us and tell us how crazy we are on the Facebook. We can do that.
Yeah.
You can also tweet us on the Twitter, Offstage on Air.
Tweet, tweet.
Tweet, tweet. And you can Stitch us.
At Stitch, Stitch.
All over the Stitcher.
Yeah.
But if you want the easiest way to get our podcast,
the most exciting way
is
you can get Lisa and Nicole delivered in your mailbox. We just arrived. We're there. You wake up. Voila.
Go to offstageonair.com and just sign up. I do want to say something because I forgot to say it last week. On last week's show, if you go to offstageonair.com and go to the page for last week, you can see a video on how to find Ground Floor Theater, because it can be sort of hard to find.
And may I just add that video, see, I'm not the only one. That video rocks. It is. If you want
to
see
I'm about to update it,
in her award-winning performance before it's gone, you can see it
there. To be quite honest, I have not won an Oscar yet, but I do believe it's Oscar worthy.
Well, I've been talking to the committee, you know.
We'll take credit.
I'm on
your
it.
Oscar when
yeah,
as a graduate of the please. Institution theater. We'll
we have two students that have made it to Saturday. Well, one student. As a teacher, I've had two students that have made it to Saturday Night Live. As the institution theater, we've had one student.
Who?
Noelle Wells.
Wow. Noelle on Master of None. Yeah. Aziz Ansari, Netflix show.
I love that show.
One of our first students.
Lovely. Wow, well, congratulations to that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So remember, if you're listening to the podcast, stick around. We are going to go backstage amongst the dumpsters and talk to these fine folks back there. If you're listening on the broadcast, stick around for Austin Monitor News. They're next, followed by another bottle down by Mark Rayshap. They are in the lobby right now drinking loads of wine. They are
wine.
They've got a magnum of champagne that they're down in there, so I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful show.
Why are we in here?
I know, right?
In the meantime, Nicole and I will be back next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. And let's go back and listen to Motown as we leave.
Let's.
The curtain has just come down on What the Hell Do You Know, the musical. The story of a hapless young man who worked for a newspaper in Missaguaghi, Oklahoma. And he stumbles across a young Native American woman named Loretta. And what ensues is pure folly. I don't know.
I love What the Hell.
If they had
know,
lived at the Village of the Flow.
The Village of the Flow. We were talking before we went. As we were walking backstage here, as we were coming out in amongst the dumpsters. And you know what? We keep saying backstage, but it's really right beyond the stage door.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really backstage. It's
as close as we can get to backstage.
Yeah.
That's kind of an Austin backstage.
Welcome to backstage and on the trash.
The small theaters in Austin, the backstage usually is outside.
I know mine is. Yeah. So, Tom Booker, welcome to backstage.
Thank you for having me.
Asaf Ronan.
Hello.
And Alvin Angel.
Yo, Village of the Flow.
I lost it again. I lost the name again, Alvin.
Angel, it's all
Angel, I want to call you Angel.
Call me whatever
Angel.
You want.
But don't call you late for dinner.
Right.
Oh.
All right, so we're going to immediately start with the answer to the trivia question. So give us the abbreviated question, and let's see what the answer is.
We were talking about the musical Pearly. Music and lyrics by Jerry Geld and Peter Udell. Book co-authored by Udell. And the talented actor who wrote the straight play, Pearly Victorious, and played as lead. Who was it? A, James Earl Jones, B, Roscoe Lee Brown, C, Sidney Poitier, D, Ossie Davis, or E, Emmett Babe Wallace.
Okay. Alvin, do you have an idea?
I can guess.
Guess go.
Yeah.
Let me go with B.
Roscoe Lee Brown?
Lee Brown.
Okay.
Asaf, do you have a guess?
I got to lean towards Ossie Davis.
Ossie
this
Davis?
Because of the writing component, because I know he was involved in a lot of writing.
And
I have to go to, I'm leaning towards Ossie Davis just because of Do the Right Thing.
I'm saying Ossie Davis.
You're saying Ossie Davis?
Yes. Yeah. And what's the correct answer?
Can I change my...
just because we're doing it. We're like lemmings.
I don't know.
I don't know either. D, Ossie Davis. Ossie, here we go. Here's the fact. Ossie Davis was the original playwright for both Pearly Victorious and Pearly, as well as originating the role. Roscoe Lee Brown did play a singing minister in My One and Only, and Emmett Babe Wallace played Arvide Abernathy in the 1976 version of Guys and Dolls.
There you go. Davis. And if you guessed right, you are the winner, and you then get onto the Offstage and On the Air Christmas cookie list.
Yay! Mm.
Which she doesn't make. So there are no cookies. Waiting for
it's just
them
a list.
Every
just
year.
A list. It's just a list. It's, there are no cookies.
It's like, don't get excited.
Oh.
Okay, so we promised we'd improvise. So we're gonna try this. This is never have been done on our stage here.
It's because we're hard-hitting and groundbreaking here.
Well, except we're not groundbreaking. We're stealing this directly from Jimmy Corrine, who does this on his podcast.
Right. Who's coming to town in January.
Who's coming to town. He's going to teach classes at the Institution Theater.
Yeah, theater and do his podcast and
is
interview
he?
Me in one and Shayna Merlin. In the other.
And the
love
other.
That.
Shayna
That's
Merlin
exciting.
Of Merlin Works. So actually, speaking of that, how can folks get information? How much does it cost? We can say prices here.
Well, I just posted about the classes today. Uh-huh. There's an... If you get in soon, it's $100. Otherwise, it's $125. That's the
and that's
price.
For a one-day workshop?
Yes, one-day workshop with Jimmy Corrine. And we're doing the podcast that weekend. So this is the shows are on January 8th and 9th, and the classes on January 9th and 10th.
Can people come and see the podcast tapes?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, and I'll be posting information about that on the website.
On the website. On today. Awesome. Institutiontheater.com.
Yay.
That's cool. Sitting in on a podcast taping is interesting. It's not.
Well, there will be
difficult.
A performance
so
as part of it.
Yeah. He's got varying levels of quality. Sometimes it's not so. I listen to his podcast, and sometimes it's better than others.
He interviews people, and he likes to get some of the dark meat
from
the podcasts, and then bring that into the improv.
Yeah, because he's rather dark himself.
He's kind of.
There's not a podcast that goes by that he doesn't talk about the crap that's going on in his life.
He's got some issues.
He said that a lot of his
and
improv.
And that's probably why he has a podcast.
a lot of his improv teaching has been influenced by the therapy he's gone to. That's serious. So that's a genuine.
Yeah, he actually gets very serious quite often. And actually, that is one of the things that I learned on his podcast. One of the things that you were talking about before, Tom, is it's like you. It's not necessarily about being funny. There's a lot of improvised work that's not necessarily. It's certainly not ha-ha funny, and it's not necessarily really funny at all.
And funny or poignant. Serious, it's about being true to the moment, true to the world that we create.
Well, let's create a world because we came in here, we had Molly, who works here at the station, give us a location. What did she say?
She said Madrid.
Madrid,
that's the location that will fit on this date.
Okay, yes. That's. I didn't give her that direction.
That's all. We can do Madrid.
Okay, so here we go. Let's try to improv. I've never done before, so here we go.
Are
lights.
All five of us doing this?
Everybody's got to. Everybody's got. And we're gonna only. It's gonna be short because we're limited time here. Okay. So just a couple minutes.
So just all right, and lights up. Did I take your?
Yeah, that's my thing.
Your thing? Okay,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's my show.
All right, scene.
All right. Okay, that was my thing too.
I was making it. Okay,
and lights up.
Cold in here.
It is cold in here.
I thought Madrid would be warmer.
Well, you would think it would be.
I know. I mean, whenever you see a movie, and Madrid's part of the movie. They're always hot.
Maybe. You know, you cannot believe, Stephen, everything you see on television or read in a book.
No,
you just can't. You always have.
I know
you're
not supposed to, but I do because I find it just so
I believe
much.
Everything.
You should.
I do.
Well, you're married to Stephen, of course.
I believe.
That's the thing that she likes best about me.
It's
my total lack of reality.
If I may interject.
Oh, certainly.
I couldn't help but overhear your conversation and allow to bestow upon you my coat.
Well, why are you talking like that?
I am part of the staff here. Yeah. At the Madrid Hotel.
Oh.
Yeah, that's I think we pay extra to have Stefan here to give Stephen his coat.
It's my coat.
Thank you. It's a nice coat.
It's like a Burberry.
Yeah. I just gave him that coat.
Oh, you gave Stefan that coat?
Yes. That's my coat.
Uh oh.
I feel very embarrassed.
you're turning that bright hue of hazel.
Do you want your coat back? Because I feel bad.
No, you can have the coat.
Because I'm cold.
It's
it
is cold.
Not warm in the coat?
That's why I gave him a coat. Now, but I was cold.
I'm just trying to be helpful. to be of service.
I've often wondered about the history of this hotel. I've heard it's got a very, very interesting history.
Ah, yes.
What was this? Wasn't there a count?
Ah, yes. Let's all go back collectively. The year was 1628.
It's my time travel.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephen.
I'm a big fan of Doctor Who.
Who?
Who?
And scene. Well, that was fun.
So yes, something like that. That happened. That's something we say about Day of Reckoning.
Well, that happened.
That happened. Yeah, that happened. So, Alvin, I want to hear a little bit about you. So you're part of Spectrum, but you don't have a theater background. Ooh.
I want to know how did you get involved? Who pulled you? Yeah, who pulled you in?
It could be a long story. She took his coat.
Well, there was a show that we were working on, and I was going to be in that show. In short,
I guess a performer.
As a performer, yes. Excellent. You know, I got a natural knack and acumen for being on stage.
Yeah, we call that an NKA. Natural knack and acumen.
Very nice.
Yeah, so that's what we call it.
I love the word acumen.
Who doesn't?
More than codify.
It's good. I was just about to say, more than codify.
Well, by all means. So you were going to be a performer.
Yes, we're going to be a performer. Now some things happened to where we weren't able to pull off the show, but then afterwards, Billy gave the invitation for those involved to come and help build the company. And so I really... love what I could discern the company was about, the vision, and so I stuck with it. And
so you auditioned for the show just from something you saw online or something.
Mm-hmm. And that's well, from a connection, someone who was already involved with Spectrum. I actually ran into them at Walmart, and they were like, "Hey, they're having this audition. I'm going to call them and tell them to make space for you." And so I went to the audition, and yeah, they liked me.
Awesome. Now, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Silsby, Texas.
Selsby?
Why do I know where that is?
The country. Yeah. It's kind of by Beaumont. You guys heard of Beaumont?
Yes, that's why I was like,
So were you like in the swampy lands of Texas?
Not really. There wasn't very many swamps around where I was, but I mean,
what brought
of dirty
you to Austin?
Water.
Don't tell me. I'm gonna say UT.
UT. Guessed it. Yeah.
What'd you go to school for?
Marketing. Marketing.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah. So that was a really good experience.
So would you like to sign up now for an improvisation class?
I think so. I definitely would like these guys to come in and train some of the Spectrumites on
I gave him a card, and I offered a free
workshop. You two were wheeling and dealing and doing business this
week.
I'm
giving him a chance for a free class for their company because I want to see more. Like I said in the show, I want to see more African American companies. Yep. I want to see more diversity in general, and who knows, maybe along the way we'll turn a few people in the company onto improv, and maybe let's bleed some of those voices into the work we're doing.
Collaboration.
Yeah. Exactly. So I have to ask, was the show you auditioned for Once on This Island?
It was.
Because I knew that was slated earlier, and it got postponed.
Oh, my goodness.
So can I infer from that you sing?
I was just
going to
say, must sing, huh?
A little bit.
Let's
please
hear something.
Don't put me on the spot. No,
no.
I don't want any ears to bleed. But no, I
well,
can
you
hold
went
a
through
tune
a singing
somewhere.
Audition, and you were and yes. you and you won a role.
What was your audition song?
What was your song?
It was. I can't even remember to be honest with you
what
the song
us,
was.
After all we've been through,
it may have been an Usher song or something. It wasn't even.
How's it go?
Choice.
I don't know Usher. How did that song?
Did you lift your shirt up and show your abs while you sang it?
No abs showing. But I did well enough to, I was going to play Papa Gay, but Demon of Death.
When we do it again, when they do it again next year.
Yeah.
If it happens again,
to be honest with you, I may be too busy with behind the scenes stuff. Goodness, it's a lot of work.
We wouldn't know anything about that.
So
speaking of that, Tom, you opened up the Institution Theater. This is your baby.
Yes.
Right? And then almost immediately, but you and Asaf were roommates.
Yes.
Yes.
I was teaching a class. I'd moved here from L.A. shortly after Asaf moved here from New York, and I like to say through a series of bad breaks and misunderstandings, we ended up as roommates.
Yep.
We didn't know each other. We didn't like each other.
You were roommates and you didn't know it? I didn't know that part of the story.
We barely
knew
each other.
So how did you end up as roommates?
I knew he was looking for a place and I was looking for a roommate stat.
Didn't call me.
Didn't know you.
You wouldn't want to have lived in this place. It was the world's saddest duplex.
It was.
I lived in one of those before. I've left and been like, I don't duplex. Miss that place. At all.
And we were both coming off divorces, we were both like, it was the saddest duplex.
The divorce duplex. Yeah.
And I was
uplifting.
Yeah,
like a couple of Eeyores in a building.
Pretty much.
A couple of Eeyores in a building. That's hilarious.
Which oddly enough was my sorority name.
You're back on that.
And I started heading out to teach a class one day, and Asaf was sitting there being sad on the sad couch. I hated that couch. And
watching another marathon of Celebrity Rehab.
Oh, lovely.
Probably. That's enough to set you into another tailspin.
Let me see people who are doing worse. You know, it was that kind of situation. You know how it is.
I invited him to come to the class, and Asaf took the class over.
Because I can't sit silently in a class anymore.
Yeah, well, we call us off the hammer.
And I thought I was the best teacher.
The hammer of improv.
I thought I was the best improv teacher in the world till I saw him work.
And then we
started working together.
That's very sweet.
Who knew? Just depressing, sitting around on the couch and then showing you. That's
and
awesome.
Now we owe a lot to each other.
Like, yeah.
I don't think either of us would be doing what we're doing if it weren't for the involvement of the other person. Yeah. So.
And where were you born? Where did you grow up?
I'm from Tulsa originally. And
Oklahoma
I went to
or the other one?
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
Is there another one?
No, I don't think so.
And then I went to University of Oklahoma where I was the mascot for the basketball team. Yeah.
That's
what was
cool.
The mascot?
At the time, it was
Top Dog.
It was Top Dog. I was a dog for this. And then
you wear the big costume?
Wore the big costume, spun the head, was part of the spirit of Oklahoma.
Okay. Just in the spirit of Jimmy Crane, because he likes to get personal.
Uh-huh.
Are you a furry?
No, but once I did once pick up someone at a bar called Brothers and took her back to my apartment, and she asked me to put on
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, listeners, if you don't know what a furry is, Google it.
And but that's why I went to Second City. I was the mascot. I like people looking at me, so I went to study at Second City. And
When were you at Second City?
Second City Training Center from. I was in Chicago from like 86 to 91. Are you from Chicago?
Yeah,
we both lived there. We both lived there.
I was one of the founding members of the Annoyance Theater.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We were in Chicago at the same time.
Okay.
Because remember, I was there from 90. Oh, no, you left at 91. I was there 94 to 2001. Okay. And I worked with Comedy Sports.
Okay. And and I was, we did like Coed Prison Sluts, the musical.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And That Darned Antichrist, and Laura Hall and I created Manson the Musical, and William Shakespeare's Sid and Nancy, The Tale of Two Star-Crossed Lovers on Heroin. And then when our show, The Real Life Brady Bunch, went to New York, I was at the Village Gate for a year doing Bobby Brady.
There you go.
Oh, that's awesome.
Bobby.
Village Gate that no longer exists.
Now it's a CBS drugstore. It was always a drugstore, especially when we were
there. But that's another story. Like when I worked at 54 in the basement. And Asaf, you're from New York, or you just lived there a long time?
I was born in Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, Texas?
Yes. Jerusalem, Israel.
You're born in Jerusalem.
Yes.
Yep.
And my family moved when I was one.
So do you still hold an Israeli passport? Or an Israeli citizenship?
It's not been renewed in a long time. But yeah, I am.
So you have dual citizenship.
Yeah, but Israeli citizenship really does not help you, including going to Israel. You're better off with the American passport.
true.
There's a whole other set of questions if you're
yeah.
an Israeli not living in Israel. That it's kind of better just,
So why did your parents move from Israel to the States?
Opportunity, just like I think, you know.
Are they native Israelis?
Story. No.
Okay. So you didn't speak Hebrew in your house?
Oh, yeah, we did, but I watched a lot of TV at a young age, so I caught on to, I learned English very fast, much faster than either of my parents.
And, you were one.
Yeah, but I did not immerse myself as equally in Hebrew, so. Ah. Whenever they would try to speak Hebrew with me, I would say, I don't speak Spanish. That was my response.
And how did you find yourself in improv?
I was a writer for most of my life. I started writing in junior high. And
what type of work?
I was doing a lot of short fiction and poetry. I won some regional competitions.
Wow.
Got published here and there.
Any poems you want to share with our audience?
Oh, none that I remember.
Okay, whatever.
Though one time the highlight of my akin to Ozzie Davis, one of my poems got read by Earl Hyman, who played the grandfather in the Cosby Show. The ceremony where I got my award for the poem, and so having Earl Hyman read the poem was wonderful.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty hilarious. That's pretty cool. And awesome.
So there you are. You're a writer.
Yes, I was hanging out with some other friends. We were all fans of Whose Line Is It Anyway, the original British version. So we decided to just start playing some games. And so I was like, oh, this is writing on your feet. I love this. And just 25 years later, it's like 25 to this.
Because you started October. When you were two. Because you're in your 20s now, right?
Yes.
So did you grow up in Manhattan?
I grew up in Queens.
Queens. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, nothing wrong with that. I mean, grew up in Flushing, Queens.
Were you in Flushing?
Queens, the cemetery capital of the world.
That's true.
There's a lot of cemeteries in Queens.
When you fly into LaGuardia, it's like cemetery.
My Gigi's buried there. And she's buried right next to Billie Holiday.
Really?
So if anybody goes to New York, just look at the subway map. You'll see. I mean, they put all the cemeteries on the subway map.
You fly in the airport, just look out the window.
Just look out the window. Just death everywhere.
Well, unfortunately, we're plumb out of time back here. It's like we've hardly even scratched the surface. Y'all will have to come back.
We would love to come back.
This was a fun backstage.
Love chatting with you guys.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you so much
for having us. I guess that's it. I guess we're just going to
ease on down the road.
We're going to ease on down the road. Ease on down the road. Come on, ease on down the road. Don't you care enough?
Oh,
be alone.
Sing it. Come on.